Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Owner's Box. I'm Billy Koch, founder, managing partner of the Little Red Feather Racing Club. Joining me alongside, as always, is the most beautiful, charming, fantastic. Look at her, Michelle Yu.
That's so nice.
What are you? Are you in leopard outfit? What is this today?
Well, just a shirt, but yeah. On the bottom, I have my riding clothes on because I'm going to the farm after this. We're doing this in the morning, which we normally do in the afternoon.
Right. Look, I heard
leopard was the new neutral.
What does that mean?
It means that you can wear it like instead of like black, brown, or white or gray, which would be like your neutrals. Leopard. You can wear leopard.
So last week we talked a little bit about you're on this new little kind of fitness kick. How is it going?
I just finished my Peloton session, but no I didn't way. Do the bike today. I did a cardio session.
Okay, good. I downloaded an app called you're gonna laugh at me, Bend. So I could stretch. I need stretching.
They do stretching on the Peloton stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'm very tight. I did use the Peloton. I don't know. I'm trying to do this thing where I just do it every morning. It comes to me, whatever. Reminds me. I don't know. Okay. But anyway, we have a cool show today. Evan Ferraro is joining us. Very, very popular man in the horse racing industry. And he has a horse in the Arkansas Derby this weekend. We're going to find out all about that.
I love his horse in the Arkansas Derby.
We're going to find out if he's going to make a guarantee on this horse is going to win, because it's certainly not something I can do with any of our horses lately. But Michelle, what else is going on in the world of thoroughbred racing this weekend?
Okay, so
I
want to go back to last weekend first, right? Yeah. Back to last weekend, it was the Louisiana Derby over at the fairgrounds. Mm. It was also the Jeff Ruby Stakes. So we did have some Derby points on tap, and endlessly won the Jeff Ruby for Michael McCarthy and Ammermans. And I thought he looked fantastic over there. I don't know if synthetic is going to be, I don't think that this horse is a Derby horse, right? I mean,
that 22nd timeout. I think the question is, look, the horse has been that's a 20-second timeout in the NBA in college. Just tap your shoulders. Here's the thing. Interesting, because the Ammermans are great. If you've ever met the Ammermans, they're fantastic people. And this is a shot at the Kentucky Derby, but Whitey, has already said this horse will probably run in the American turf on the same day. Mm-hmm. He did win on the synthetic. But, Michelle, you're an owner. And the Ammermans, with all due respect, are not young owners. They've been in this game for a long, long time. Again, fantastic people. Do you say, hey, do you think we could just give it one shot? Or do you just trust your trainer and run on the grass?
So judging by Michael McCarthy's previous interactions with horses that have like gone on to win classics, I would say you don't question Michael McCarthy and you just let him do the right thing, right? As far as...
Right, but do you have like a little?
No, you don't. Right? I mean, here's the thing.
If you have a horse
that like is a possible crossover or whatnot, then yeah. But I think when they bred Oscar Performance to a Langford mare, they were thinking we're gonna have a great turf horse, and now that they can have a synthetic horse, it's a boon as well. But I don't think that it was ever the hope to be a Derby horse.
I think it would be very difficult for me personally to not take a shot.
So if you have like a Galileo out of like a,
I'm being honest and saying it would be very difficult for me not to take a shot, especially in a year like this with certain person's horses. It would be very difficult for me not to take a shot. That being said.
Now, wait, I have a question about that. It would be difficult for you to take a shot because you have a syndicate and you have a lot of people that want the Derby?
I was saying me personally. It would, and the other way too, I would just say like, look, we have a really good horse. He's very sound. He just, you know, I would look at what happened last year with Two Phils. He was really impressive in the Jeff Ruby, ran huge in the Derby, almost won. And it would be difficult for me. But at the same time, what I did hear, if you listen closely to Rispoli, congratulations, by the way, Umberto, 2,000 wins. Mm-hmm. Great weekend for him on his little kid's birthday and Matt Nakatani, his agent's birthday. Happy birthday, Matt. If you listen to them talk, they both said when they breeze him on the dirt, he's not very good. Did you hear that? And so
no, but now I want to look it up. Hold on.
Yeah, if that I've heard that. And literally it was either Umberto or McCarthy said like he basically can't stand up on the dirt. So okay. If that was the case and I had seen those breezes, I probably would come around and just say, hey,
should we watch a breeze?
No, we're not watching a breeze. No,
why
no
one wants to watch a
breeze. Yeah, well, you're not gonna be able to tell.
Let's watch. Hold on.
Okay. All right, bring it up.
I'm gonna share endlessly. I love these
unplanned things that aren't gonna work.
All right, let's see if I can do this. I'm figuring this out. Add the stage. Like
I still have a sleep on my eyes. Oh, look at that.
All right. Here is endlessly on March 9th. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, hold on. I got to log in.
Hey, geez. I just got your login information. This is good. This is nice. This is new. Look at this. I mean, technology at its finest.
Endlessly on the outside.
Well, I would like fast forward because you're not going to be able to see anything in this first part.
Okay,
but you can tell that he went.
You can tell he's not very smooth.
No, and he's got an interesting running style with his kind of head down.
Head down, yeah. AP Indy style. AP also, Indy style. You can see his high knee action. Even in comparison to his workmate here, his knees go so much higher.
Yep.
And look, he does look like he's trying hard to go 102, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he looks like and he's like, not oh. really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look mean, at he's like, come on, looks come on, like buddy. He's
going better. Right here.
Oh yeah, the workmate's being geared down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can absolutely see where he wouldn't be as competitive on dirt because look, he's right. not. It's not like he's what's struggling. He's just not.
What's wrong with these days? Have a great Air Force. Doesn't it's okay?
Nothing's wrong. And okay. that's well, a great thing about Michael McCarthy is that he's already looking at that option, right? Like they did with Brombauer when he took him to the El Camino, bypassed the Derby to run him in the Preakness. Like Michael has long-term goals, I think, in mind for his horses a lot of times. And we have gotten stuck with like the Derby being this like biggest race. And it is obviously the most well-known race and it's super exciting. But maybe the kind of the Baffert effect of this would be, look at, we're willing to skip the Derby by not sending horses to other places because there's other big races. And maybe other people are starting to be like, you know what, if it's not best for my horse, I'm going to lean elsewhere also.
I like it.
Right.
I like a good segment. Good segment, Michelle.
Good segment.
I
like okay. What else we got? So that was the other big stakes race we didn't get to talk about was the Louisiana Derby that was won by Catching Freedom with Flavien Pratt aboard for the Alba Family Stables and Brad Cox.
I gotta say, the Alba Family Stables, it seems like they have a Derby horse every single year. I know they do spend a lot of money, but they buy really good horses. Brad Cox, obviously.
Let's see, this one cost how much? Do we know?
I don't know off the top of my head. You're gonna look.
An impressive $575,000 as a yearling.
Yep.
He's by Constitution out of a Pioneer of the Nile mare. And that victory right there was worth $600,000.
Yep, there you go. Paid for it. Paid for himself right there and more because he's going to be one of the favorites in the Derby. I mean, the way he finished, you know, him and the Chad Brown, Sierra Leone, they both have these big time late kicks. It's kind of cool to see horses with these big time late kicks. Michelle, do you have a horse that like when a horse does that and comes from last to first that you think about? Like, I'm a little older than you, but I have a couple and they're, I'm going to give you a quiz. They're both. White. I mean,
the first horse you just think of is Zenyatta, right? Instantly.
No, I see. I don't. But yes, you probably do, and most people do. But when I was a kid, there were two gray horses that ran on the West Coast. And I'm giving you clues, but you don't know, do you?
I do know one of them. Hold on. Because John White talked about him all the time. Yes,
all the time.
Flying Pastor.
No.
Flying Pastor.
No.
Okay.
One was a horse named La Zanzara. La Zanzara. And the other one was Vigors.
I would have got that if you had $1 million.
Yeah, and Vigors was the other.
Vigors.
Vigors.
I was close with the earth.
So when I was growing up, I'm like a different generation than you, but those were my two. All right, Michelle, what do we have on tap?
I have a quick offside for that is Flavien Pratt rode Catching Freedom. He also rides Timberlake in the Arkansas Derby. If Timberlake wins, Pratt has to make a choice. Do you? Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's Timberlake, no question. But a lot of people like
you have to see. Freedom. I don't think you could do that right now because you have to see how he runs this weekend. You have to wait. That's an impossible question because I could say Catching Freedom right now and Timberlake runs sixth, and I'm going to be right.
If Timberlake wins,
If Timberlake wins and he's impressive, here's the thing. They're both trained by Brad Cox, I believe, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so in that case, I think Brad Cox probably huddles up with Pratt and they work together and say, you know, who are we going to ride? And they also figure in the owners as well, because I know Albaugh is very big and obviously Windstar, huge owners. I think it would be probably a group decision. I don't think Pratt's going to go to Brad Cox and say, I want to ride this one. I think Brad Cox and his team are going to say, here's where we think you fit best. That's my take.
Well, and I think this is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, that Pratt's going to ride Timberlake, because Giroux rode him all the way up to the Rebel. And then Fleurot went to Saudi to ride Saudi Crown. And so they put on.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
So it makes sense. But you know what? I'm really happy for Pratt in the way that move he made when it was last year, a couple of years ago, where he went to Keeneland and then he went to New York to ride. And he finished, I believe, second or third in the Eclipse voting this year. And that was his goal. His goal was to win an Eclipse Award. And he wasn't going to do it in Southern California. So kudos to him and his agent, Brad Cox, Brad Pegram, and what they've been able to. Well, we were talking about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I see Evan right there. So
why don't we pull him in and do the interview, and then we'll talk about the Dubai World Cup at the end.
Sounds great. I have to pause you real quick though. Hold on. Pause. Okay. We're gonna bring in Evan. Who is very punctual, by the way. Thanks, Evan.
Look at this guy.
Hey.
I match Evan's blinds.
You do a little bit. You would be camouflaged.
Yeah.
Evan Ferraro, welcome to the owner's box. Where is this? Is this a Phasic office? Is this a home? What is this?
This is a Phasic office, and it's actually not my office.
It's the ceiling. Of course it's a Phasic office. There's no way Evan has that in his house.
I don't freaking know.
The power's been cut to our building somehow, so like half our office hasn't had power right now. Yeah, it's like World War III around here right now.
Oh no, that's not good. Listen, we appreciate you having power, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. For people who don't know you, we know you very well. We want to talk about the Arkansas Derby. We want to talk about liberal arts. But let's talk about you a little bit. We obviously know Phasic. So tell us a little bit about what you do for Phasic. Then we'll jump backwards and talk about your intro to horse ownership.
Okay. So I've been at Phasic Tipton for 15 plus years now.
You look like you're 17 years old. How is that possible?
I know. So he was born. He was born into this.
I got a haircut and shaved today, Billy. That takes like 20 years off my face.
Can you turn to the side and let us see?
Once a month shave?
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Who does it? You know what? I'm coming to Lexington and I probably need a haircut.
Billy needs a beard trim.
I probably do too. I'm very lazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I got someone for you.
We'll talk.
So I've been started as an intern, kind of kept bopping along up the ladder at the company. And so I'm the director of marketing, oversee all our advertising marketing programs, but Phasic Tipton, everybody does about 10 different jobs. So I also recruit horses for the sales, yearlings, do yearly inspections, recruit horses for November sale, handle certain accounts, travel some, I go to Japan every year, represent us there. So a little everything.
So, how many years have you been going to Japan?
I've been the last two, and it was Terrence Collier, legend from Phasic Tipton, was the one that started going there and went there for over 30 years. And then he retired, but it's been passed down to me. But I've been lucky enough to go with Terrence the last couple of years, which is great, because when you go to Japan with Terrence, it's like touring the country with Michael Jackson. So
nice.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. Like, what do you see there that's different from America?
I mean, really, a lot of it on the farms is pretty similar. Basically, we go there every year, and you know, they're big supporters of ours, especially in November, and meet with a lot of the principals there that participated in our sales, promote our upcoming sales, thank them for their business, and view their operations. I mean, one thing I think that's really interesting about there is the level of the size, especially the farms, like you know, the Shaddai or Northern Farm,
Yeah,
they break I mean, they might break 1,000 yearlings or something like that. I mean, they have just huge operations. Whoa. And like, if you buy a horse from them, like, you, they'll even take it and break it for you. They'll do this or that. They're just on a massive scale. It's incredible. Everything is done to perfection over there, which is, you know, they take a lot of pride in what they do and everything that they do there. It's part of their culture. The races are incredible. I went on a sleepy Sunday and they probably had 50,000 there.
Amazing.
Jockeys are celebrities. I mean, mm-hmm. people clamoring for autographs. They ran a pony race after the last race at Tokyo Race Course on a Sunday with a bunch of like 8 to 12 year olds. Some of them were children of jockeys, and they ran a pony race on the turf course at Tokyo Race Course. And the whole crowd stayed for it and got into it. It was really cool.
Was there gambling on the pony race?
Not officially. I might have had a side wager going, but
all right. Calcutta. Well, we call that Calcutta.
Do you mind if we keep going on this line of questioning? Because I think it's interesting. It's because, look, we've talked about it on the show before, and horse racing, except for the next 4 weeks at Keeneland, which is going to be amazing. But obviously, Michelle and I are in Southern California. There's some struggles out here. What do you think we could take from the Japanese style of racing and bring it over here to add some enthusiasm? Or, you know, you're in marketing. What can we do differently or better?
I think their facilities. Their facilities are immaculate, very clean. But they do a lot of stuff to promote the sport and get younger fans. So, like, if you go to Tokyo Race Course, they have the JRA Museum is right by the grandstand. And it has, like, the whole history of the horse, development of the horse as a breed, thoroughbred as a breed, great horses. There's, like, a Hall of Champions, great horses from around the world through the years. Like, you can actually they'll put you on, like, an equisizer and have you ride a race. I mean, like...
Wow.
And they create fans, and, you know, they have a huge, like, there's a huge park and playground right there by the grandstand. So if you want to go to the races with your family, you know, they've got a playground. You can go over, make your bets, follow the races. Mm-hmm. You know, the train goes right in there. It's just
convenience.
Yeah. It just, you know, nice amenities. It's really well organized. You know, they've got a lot of staff around.
Sure.
They just kind of cover every base there, but they really promote it as a family place, especially, I mean, like, as expensive as it's gotten to go to, like, you know, we're Dodgers fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about the price it'd take a family of four to Dodger Stadium now. I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
Get food, you know, have a couple beers, whatever. No, I mean, we've got alternatives here, or a chance to really kind of promote a family environment that's a lot more affordable. I mean, a lot of these tracks have great infields. I mean, shoot, I'd let the families into the infields for free on the weekends and things like mm-hmm. that. Either,
yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
At Santa Anita, you can come to the infield for free on the weekends.
There you go.
And we got a big Easter egg hunt this weekend.
Yeah. Right. See, and the infield's great. I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, my dad was a trainer out there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you're on the front side, but I'd have friends invite me to their birthday parties in the infield, and there'd be people stacked in the infield, you know, laid out in the grass, parents making bets, kids running around. It was great. Mm-hmm.
So your dad was a trainer. That was your introduction to horse racing. Tell us a little bit about growing up as a trainer's son.
Yeah. So my dad trained in Southern California in the '70s and the '80s, and which were great days in California racing.
Absolutely.
And my family had been in it. Like, my mom has been involved. She worked for Barrett's the whole time they were going. She worked at farms in Northern Virginia. She's done stallion advertising for a long time, just retired. And my dad's mother was a racing commissioner in the '80s, and my mom's mom managed farms and train centers in Virginia. So I had it in me, but, the earliest memories are being at the racetrack. And I remember being at Hollywood Park. Dad won a race. I think it was 87.
Yeah.
That was one of the first memories. I was five, hooking on his, I guess he tells me this. I used to hook my finger around his belt loop and follow him into the track back room and do all that. Put me on the Outriders ponies. I mean, there was, you know, it was the best. There's, no other lifestyle out there really for me.
Yeah. And then how did you end up in Kentucky?
Well, we noticed that you didn't become a trainer.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a trainer. I really did. I wanted to follow my dad's. I love the mornings. And then I went and worked on Harris Farms for a while to get farm experience and did all sorts of stuff there. Worked in the breeding shed, did the sales, prepped yearlings, all sorts of stuff. And then I wanted to try and get back east to Kentucky. I didn't really know anybody. met the president of San Anita, the president of FASIC Tipton at San Anita one morning at Clocker's Corner, and sent him a resume, and I got an internship, and it was 6 months, and then eventually now it's been 15 years. So that's how I got there.
It's only who was the president back then?
Walt Robertson.
So when you sent him your resume, were you thinking, hey, I want to end up doing this, or I just want to expand my horizons? Like, was there a thought process behind like FASIC, my next step?
I was trying to get a job, and really I was trying bloodstock agents, sales companies, but you know, no one really knew me. But you know, Walter, remember when my dad trained and knew my parents a little bit. So he's, you know, my mom said, well, you should send him something. So I sent him a resume and a letter asking for a job. And he said, well, don't have a job, but we can give you an internship, you know, see how it goes. You know, we're going to need to get some younger people in here, and just went from there. So, and then I got in there and, I looked around. I'm like, well, this is pretty fun. I'm on up at 4 a.m.
You said that with such enthusiasm, Evan.
So fun.
I was trying not to be too enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it was great. I mean, the guys in here were spectacular. I mean, these guys were, I mean, really good at what they did, been around the game forever, done everything. Great guys to learn from, fun to hang out with. We got to travel. I'm going to Calder Sale back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Saratoga, going out, meeting great people. Like, I mean, FASIC Tipton usually eats well on the road. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, you know, I kind of like the sales company deal. And luckily enough, they offered me a job, and that's where I've been. So
that's wild. It's a great story, Evan. Great story. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about the excitement of this weekend. Liberal Arts. Tell us the story.
So this is a horse that my dad and I bred. It's actually the first time I've been co-breeder with him on a horse, and then now co-owner. And it's a family that he has loved for a long time. Actually, the first mare he owned in the late 60s was out of this family. It's a it's an old productive family. It goes back to good stuff like Kindergarten, who's a great producer through the years. And it's been a great family in California, but other places too. City of Lights out of that family, Fiji. Quite a few. And so my dad got back into the family when he was out. He had retired from training in 90 and gone back to work with our family's business, and but still went to the races all the time. And John Harris had an Excess filly named Never to Excess that he knew her pedigree, and he loved her in the paddock. And there's always a spot there on the rail where we always looked at horses. And, you know, it's when they come out of the saddle enclosure, hang a right, and you can see them straight on and see how they're conformed and everything like that. But anyways, he just had this, he kind of had like just a crush on this filly. And, you know, she kept running, and eventually, you know, I think she got out of form. And my mom was doing advertising for Harris Farms stallions. And we, you know, basically we inquired with them if they'd be interested in selling her. And Mr. Harris was willing to sell her to a lot of the family. So we got her.
Oh.
And from there, we sent her to River Edge Farm, Marty Wygod's old farm, Russell Drake. Yep. Managed for years, and bred her a lot to Tribal Rule, who my dad thought a lot of. Super talented horse, you know. Had a short career.
You had a lot of cowbreds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all cowbreds.
All cowbreds.
That's what we did. Yeah, that's what we knew, and that's what we were comfortable with. And so eventually, she had this foal, Ismini, who ended up being champion 2-year-old filly in California cowbred.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She won. She broke her maiden. First time out, Del Mar P-Val. And then, and then she came to San Diego, won the Enochia Stakes Open Company, then won the Cal Breeders opening day. And then we had to take a chip out of a knee at 3. She missed her 3-year-old year, came back at 4, ran well for us, ran her in the Breeders' Cup. She didn't run very well there in the Philly Mare Sprint, but retired her and bred her. So her first two foals were. First of all, was Lucky Pulpit. He was a stakes winner, won the Barrett Stakes. Yeah. Second foal was an acclimation filly that my dad sold as a yearling for a lot of $160,000. I think it's the highest priced filly he ever had.
Yeah.
And she went on to be stakes placed for Pete Perella. And anyways, first two foals were good. We decided to bring her back to Kentucky, breed her up, because we thought we had a really nice mare. She had their most recent year, we went to Arrogate. So luckily my, my friend Leif Aaron is at Judmont at the time and, thought that she would be a good fit for him. And, here we are. We could have sold the horse, but, you know, my best bred horse we've ever had.
Yeah.
My dad went back and forth on it. You know, he probably won't like me saying this, but I mean, he just turned 81 and, I said, why don't we just take a shot here and run him? And we did. And this is where we are. So
that is, by the way, I'm right here. And that's hard not to sell a horse like that. That's, I mean, look, this horse is, he's done enough. I mean, you probably got some offers even now before the Arkansas Derby.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that are interested in, you know, and wanting to buy in, take a piece, things like that. So, you know,
I want to know where his name came from.
He is, so my dad was an English major at USC.
Okay.
I was an English major at USC. This horse's mother, my dad named after a character in Oedipus, you know, it's a Greek.
Oh yeah. Greek tragedy.
And then my dad always wanted to name a horse liberal arts because we were liberal arts educated. And he was going through the names last year that had just been released, and one of them was liberal arts. So he,
oh my gosh, it was like meant to be.
That's so lucky too. I've done that before. You go on the Jockey Club and you go recently released names, and then it has like, you know, a million of them, and you have to pick the letter. So your dad must have been checking L for a long time.
I think he was. Yeah, he's, you know, he's, when he gets his mind on something, he's pretty he's pretty steady.
So you guys could have sold him early on. And was he just like a standout individual where you're like, let's keep him? I mean, obviously you didn't know how good he was going to be on the track.
He was always a nice yearling. He was at the time when we probably would have to start prepping for sale too. Arrogate was a little quiet. He hadn't gotten rolling yet. But he was always, Jimmy Herbiner had him as a foal, and Jimmy never said a whole lot. And he was a real good horseman back here that passed away. But he liked this horse a lot. And then when he passed away, we need to find a farm to raise him. And Bane Welker, who I work with at Phasic Tipton, said, I'd be happy to take him. He and his wife, Chris, raised him as a yearling. And, you know, he's just he's a good sized horse by Arrogate. He's always been big. He's always looked like a horse that was going to get better as he matured. Mm-hmm. But he was really smart, really well conformed, just had a lot of class about him. We just liked him. I mean, he's a nice horse. And when were we going to have a horse by Arrogate? I mean, this mare was bred a month before Arrogate passed away. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, it's last crop.
An amazing story. Are you going? Are you headed to Arkansas this weekend?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many people are going?
We're still waiting to hear on a few, but I think we'll have about 10 to 12 down there in an entourage, which is good.
That's very good.
What's the path been like for him? And, you know, he didn't break his maiden right away. Was it like, oh, we need to get him going longer. He's going to mature. Is it just this process the whole time?
Yeah, we always knew he'd want to go longer. I mean, honestly, when we got him started, we thought he'd be a fall 2-year-old, just being by Arrogate and being a good sized horse. But so Robbie Medina had broken him at Blackwood and it liked him, and then went right on with him after breaking him. You know, a lot of times you turn him out, give him a little just grow up. But Robbie said, he's doing well. Let's go on. So we just kept going with him, and he was sound and doing well. And then Robbie decided to go with a full-time public stable and really, you know, wanted to keep the horse. He said, I really like this horse. I'd like the chance to train him. So we talked about it, and the horse had done well with Robbie. We like Robbie. He said, all right, sure, he's yours, Robbie. And Robbie kept training him, and – you know, we got into the spring races at Churchill at 2, and he was doing well, and there was no reason to stop on him. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to train him until the fall. So we just, honestly, we went kind of old school, just got him going some shorter races, got some bottom in him. You know, I think he ran four and a half. I think he ran 5 first time out at Churchill. We knew it was going to be way short for him. You know, he didn't break great, made a run, galloped out well, and just progressed him in distance from there. So he just kept doing well. We dinched him up another furlong. He stayed sound, seemed to like what he was doing. And eventually we got into the fall. He ran a 1-turn mile at Churchill in September in the Iroquois. He really stepped up there, had some trouble, could have been second, finished third. And then in we got a trip around two turns with him, going a mile and 16th in the street sense, and mm-hmm. he just rolled. So
now it was in the slop that day.
We say this every podcast, Evan, and you know our good friend Bill Strauss, who likes me to mention him on every single podcast. And we were talking to him throughout the whole Hot Rod Charlie journey, where he said, like, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything except think about that, about him. Is that where you are right now? Are you having kind of some sleepless nights, excitement, like headed to Arkansas with a chance at the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, you definitely wake up a little more spring in your step every day. That's for sure. Yeah,
that's why I haven't got a haircut.
It's I got a haircut yesterday. Yeah. it is. It's you've really got to tell yourself to stay grounded, because there's so much excitement about it. There's press about the races all the time. You're following everything, you're reading about your own horse. I never thought it was real, but I can see why how people get Derby fever. So but I always said with this horse, you know, if we get there, he gets us there. We're not gonna take him. So he's got to do everything the way he's supposed to get there. So this is, you know, Saturday will be the last step for that.
Okay. Now I actually love him in the Arkansas Derby.
Cause yeah, she said that
off of the layoff in the Southwest, like, he still looked good. He was not in the spot to be that day.
No.
Are you going to do a video thing?
I can. Do you want me to? Do you want to pull up the Arkansas, the Rebel? I could.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think you should, because we should show Evan how technologically advanced we are now on the show.
All right,
Evan, watch this. Watch what Michelle can do here. This is amazing. First of all, this is our first year.
There's so much pressure right now. Hold on.
Evan's the one under pressure, not you.
I am under pressure. I have to deliver.
While Michelle's doing this, Evan, how is married life? We know you were married last year. I remember the day that you announced it. I happened to be there. I think it was at Keeneland or something. It was good, like a crazy day.
Yeah, we got married or gotten engaged that in the spring, and then went to the races that afternoon. And we got engaged.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Everyone's going crazy.
Really. Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Wow. Wait. Are you, look at this. This is so fun, Michelle. Good job. Wow. In the slop. Now, where are we?
Well, this was this a muddy track? He won in the slop when he won the street sense.
It was muddy. It rained a lot, like for not a day and a half.
This is the Southwest.
He's right there in the blue silks. He was a six.
Six. Okay. So he's going to come from out of it, which seems to be a trend lately. If you look at Sierra Leone and you look at Catching Freedom, a lot of horses coming from off the pace. Great job by Tyler to get to the rail, though, and save a lot of ground. They got to get cut off.
Yeah, but then look, he had to like steady there a little bit. And he's like so in behind horses right there.
Yeah, he got buried back there.
I mean, he lost a ton of just placement.
Yeah, and momentum for sure.
So he's stuck on the inside here.
Michelle, can you turn the volume down on the video?
Down or up?
Down.
Oh, I can't even hear volume.
Oh, I can hear it. Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of liked it with a little bit of volume.
He's down on the rail. He was tracking Mystic Dan here, who's the 10.
Yeah, and that's the eventual winner, right?
Dan's right there. The eventual winner.
Super impressive. And
This is a tale of two trips.
Yeah, right here. I think he had to take up just a hair, like right here, right before what he did. And they had to get him going again.
Mm-hmm.
When you'll see Mystic Dan sticks to the rail.
And loaded. Yeah, he's loaded.
Yeah.
And we're right behind him now.
Right. It's Mystic Dan. He gets an opening right here and zooms through on the rail.
Right.
We end up going outside.
Right here.
Yes.
I wonder what you're thinking. This is good for our listeners too. Just for,
I think if he stayed behind Mystic Dan, I think he gets second. Like, you'll see he's just nose down here.
I mean, look at him right now. Like, he's like, hello.
Yeah, he makes up a ton of ground here. And nobody was making up much ground, because I watched him. If you weren't really near the front, right coming in the stretch, I mean, you weren't gonna get close.
Yeah. He's rolling late. For all the people who didn't see, Mystic Dan snuck through on the rail.
He had a huge gallop out, and you know, he'd had maybe four breezes for that race.
What price am I going to get on Saturday?
Well, he's 15-1 more. I mean, I know I'm biased. I would think maybe he goes off about 8-1.
It's a pretty stacked field. You have Mystic Dan, who just won, and we just saw. We have Muth coming in for Baffert. You have Timberlake, obviously, who is going to vie for favoritism. I mean, this is not some easy spot for any means.
No, but it shouldn't be. I mean, it's, you know, it's a big, it's a big race.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you know, be good enough to make the next one. You gotta be able to handle these kind of horses. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what we've got. I think it's weather's supposed to be good. I think it'll be a, you know, a fast, consistent track the way it looks right now.
So can I ask why you guys opted to send him to the Southwest? Like, okay, he had a layoff after the Street Sense. He obviously trains in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
So from there, there were probably a couple of different options. So why that spot for a comeback?
The horse had done really well at the training center his whole career to date. Mm-hmm. And it's a good track there. And it actually, you know, you can get some miss some days in Kentucky, but it stays pretty good unless it gets really cold. So we knew he did well there. Robbie really wanted to go the Oaklawn route because horses have done well out of there, you know, to make the Kentucky Derby, should he do it. And, you know, we could have gone Turfway or something like that, but, you know, he's never been on poly track or anything like that. It made sense to keep him on dirt. And he, you know, he had some stalls in Oaklawn anyway, so it just made sense to go there. He was pretty comfortable with the setup there.
I think the theme of this podcast is convenience. As another convenience, you know, it's just the easiest spot. It's convenient.
Well, we try to keep it simple, pretty much. Yeah. You know.
So if Robbie has stalls there, how come we shipped him back in between?
Because he's just done so well at the training center, and he's got a lot of confidence with how he trains over that track. Mm-hmm. And still, I mean, you can still get some tough weather days at Oaklawn through February and March.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, it's a long ship. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we thought about some other spots here, even staying local for this race, but he'd had a race over the track down there, which, you know, means a lot. And and plus, you know, you'd have 5 weeks of the next one from here. So, I mean, the plan originally was to run in all three, but when they pushed the Southwest back a week,
right.
You know, shorten the window to the Rebel. And that was just too much. We'd either have to leave him down there or, and plus, you know, he's, like you'll, if you ever see him in person, he's a good sized horse. I mean, and he's been a lanky horse. Mm-hmm. Mostly he's starting to put on weight now. Like, we didn't want to jam him back that quick. He's really coming into himself now, which you expect he would. His father was that way. So, I mean, I think the time off's been good for him. I mean, Robbie wanted to get some seasoning into him. I think he would prefer another prep, but it's just the way the calendar fell. So this is what we're doing. He's training great. So we'll see.
What's your dad say?
I was going to say that, Michelle. You read my mind.
Is he excited?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talk about the horse every day.
Does he ever say, like, oh, I wish we would have worked 5/8 in company instead of a half? Or does he ever say anything like that?
Not like that, but he follows things. He's still a horse trainer at heart.
Right. Does he have his own chart at home that he's following the horse?
He wouldn't still be doing training charts, no, but I'd say it's all upstairs here.
All right. That's awesome. Evan, one more thing.
Is dad coming to the race?
No, he watches all his races from Sierra Madre in the same shirt that he wears for every one of his races. He's not going to make this one, but if he runs well and we get to the next one, he says he'll come for that one.
That's me knocking on wood. That's me shaking the camera, knocking on wood. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Evan, before we leave, we always like to ask all our guests some piece of advice for an owner that might be thinking about getting in the game. You've been around this game your whole life, basically. What would you tell him?
I would say take your time, get to meet some people, you know, learn how it works, talk to different people. And if you want to get an ownership, to me, you know, taking a small piece in a horse and seeing how it works is the best way to go. Get involved with the syndicate, you know, like Little Red Feather, you know, it gives you a perspective of the whole business without the 100% financial investment. And, you know, this game, you learn every day, even people that have been doing it for their whole lives. So I think that's the best way to kind of dip your toe in and learn about it and then go from there.
That's great advice. I appreciate it. Evan is not a paid sponsor of Little Red Feather, but I appreciate it.
Evan can also promo our next digital sale for Phasing.
I was just going to say that. Like, is there something coming up? You got the
we got an April digital sale coming up. Starts a week from tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Then it'll be open for 5 days. We'll have some nice racehorses in there, some good breeding stock. You know, it's a platform that's growing like crazy. Like, people are kind of comfortable with it now. Yep. People love it. And
it's great
to buy.
It's a great way to buy. It's a great way to sell. We sold a filly at your last one in March. We did very well. And we actually bought a horse from the same sale. So we look at all of them. I think it's great. And I think the only advice I gave, and I saw Boyd Browning, who we all love. Hi, Boyd. I said the last one was right. Like it ended at the first day of the OBS sale. And it was like, it was very confusing. Yeah. Like I was trying to look at this and trying to look at that and kind of forgot about that. And he said, that's a great point. We'll think about that. It's just the overlapping.
Like post-time overlap.
Right. Yeah. We try and avoid the best we can, but was a little overlap there, which is.
Yep.
But
awesome. Evan, good luck this weekend in the Arkansas Derby with Liberal Arts. We appreciate you. I'll see you in Lexington next week.
All right. I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate the time.
Yeah. Evan Ferraro here on the Owner's Box. Michelle, as always, you bring the best guests. Evan is a good man, working in that for 15 years. I love the story. It's a great at Derby time. We're always going to have great stories, right? We're always going to have great stories. And that's certainly one of them. And if you're going to need a rooting interest on Saturday in the Arkansas Derby, certainly look at Liberal Arts. Michelle, talk briefly about the Dubai World Cup coming up, because I know that's a big race this weekend.
Yeah. So Dubai World Cup, like you mentioned, is going to be this weekend. I think it's going to be probably one of the coolest renditions that we have seen. I mean, we've got the Saudi World Cup, the Saudi Cup winner. We've got the runners up from there. Got Ushba Tesoro and Dermot Odagake coming as well. We've got Newgate coming. So he had won the Sanandaj Handicap. I mean, there's just, and then there's going to be obviously some fresh faces. We've also got like that. I can't say his name.
Which one?
From Kazakhstan.
Oh,
Kabrikan. He's a California Chrome. He began his.
Right.
Is this worth like spending 2 minutes to watch his first race? Yes. Okay, let me see if I can find it.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, also I think Augusta Rodin is running that day in the turf race.
Yes. Yeah, so the turf race is actually one of the most stacked turf races I have ever seen. If it had Equinox in it, it would be unlike any other.
And what's going to happen? You're not going to believe this, Michelle, and you're going to die when I tell you this, but it's supposed to pour again on Saturday here in Southern California.
I know.
Is there any talk about canceling, moving to Sunday or Monday?
I have heard.
Right.
I don't, but I'm not really like in that mix. Let's see if I can.
Okay. But we have to talk about it because I forgot that we also do this as a pod and people listening probably were like, we can't see this, Billy, you dumbass. Well,
then maybe that'll make them want to come
watch the video. Watch it on YouTube.
Hold on. Let's see if I can get this going. I just found this on YouTube, but I honestly don't know like how good it's going to be. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So look at.
И там со скачки.
Скайинди классно
принимает старт под селом Замуди Нурдана.
That's the track he raced at. Okay.
Пять корпусов на второй позиции за Улем. Хуже всех принимает старт.
Кабирхан. It's just like a dirt patch.
Where is he?
Инди, 1000 метров до финиша, очень резво повел скачку Скайинди на второй позиции.
He's got a big white face.
The finish and выход.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
He looks like he's been like.
Заулем и Кабирхан идут в борьбе. Кабирхан с левой стороны классно добавляет.
Okay.
Кабирхан выходит вперед на второй позиции. Скайинди и Заулем на третьей. Кабирхан впереди под седлом Юлдашева Руслана.
На
камзоле с желтыми звездами. Итак, впереди Кабирхан, сын Калифорнии Хрома. Не сдается Скайинди. Пытается бороться. Но Кабирхан впереди.
There you go. He ran in Kazakhstan. He ran obviously here, and he ran in the Russian Derby. And then from there, he went and he won the Maktoum Challenge. And now he's been in Dubai, just like waiting to run the big cap. So he is such a cool story. Obviously, we've had Joey Peacock on our show, and he has Senior Buscador. So he's a great story. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really, really great night. So I love it.
And it's Easter weekend.
It is Easter weekend.
Your kids love Easter.
My kids, they like to go to Santa Anita and do the Easter egg hunt. We do the biggest Easter egg hunt in the San Gabriel Valley. But this year, my brother and his wife are having like an Easter thing and my mom wants them to go. So Olivia just got the news broken to her that she's not going to the Santa Anita Easter egg hunt. And her face was like.
Did I ever tell you my Easter egg hunt story?
No.
So I was probably I must have been 12 years old, and my dad took my sister and I to a like a Beverly Hills Easter egg hunt.
Like you cracked them open, like Gucci came out.
No, it was like this is no joke, and I think I know whose house it is, but I don't want to say it. But it was like a big time movie producer.
Okay.
And they're like, oh,
it wasn't
okay.
Harvey Weinstein, was it?
No. So there was a big hunt, and the first egg I picked up. I opened it up and there was $100 bill in it.
No way.
Yeah. I'm 12. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm like, and then I was like running all over and trying to find all that. It was so funny. My sister and I still talk about it. Emily still talks about it.
How many eggs had money in
them? Oh, I can't even remember. We were going crazy because we were on the like older side. Like I was 12 and she was 9. So we were just like elbowing people out trying to get eggs. They didn't all have money in it, but
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
So happy Easter, everybody. What anything else happening at Santa Anita?
Yeah, so check this out, actually. At Santa Anita on Friday, Petros and Money are coming.
Oh, that's big.
Everybody loves Petros and Money, right? Yep. So you can come and they're going to be trackside and they have a little VIP experience that you get exclusive seating. You get some tacos from the taco bar, paddock tours, great, all kinds of stuff. But everyone loves to watch them. And I did their show live with them once or twice, but the first time they did it on the apron and like everyone's just sitting there staring at you. It's such like a weird feeling.
Where are they doing it this year? Where are they doing it?
It says it says trackside. So I'm going to assume in the same kind of vicinity.
We have three horses running on Friday. So that would be interesting. Maybe we'll try to win.
What else do we have going on? We've also got the Santa Anita polo shirt and the Lava Man pin giveaway for our Thoroughbred or our first reward members. Of course, I mentioned that big Easter egg hunt on Sunday. It is the biggest Easter egg hunt in the SGV. And if you come, it is really fun. They separate it in like different heats.
36,000 eggs.
Yeah. By how, what age your kids are.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. You can also come for the domestic barbecue picnic on Sunday. I don't know what a domestic barbecue is.
You know,
and then we have the Silks Easter lunch on Sunday as well.
Your favorite Little Red Feather horse is making his comeback on Sunday.
Who?
GFP.
Woo! That's exciting.
Yeah, if it doesn't rain.
If it doesn't rain, yeah. What's he going to run in?
It's the American Stakes.
Oh, okay.
Little prep, little start off. All right, Spencer's here. Time to go. Thank you to Evan for our good luck.
Okay, can I show you one thing? Can I show you one thing? I got all these wines.
She got a lot. Oh, I saw that. I saw your post. They look awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
These are so cool. Yeah.
I haven't opened them yet, though. But look at their names. Like, this is Bold Ruler.
Bold Ruler is great. Okay. He looks kind of scary. He looks like a Lion King character.
This is Maiden Race.
Maiden Race. She looks pretty.
And then this is Seattle Slough.
Seattle Slough. How did they name a horse Seattle Slough? I mean, name it. Isn't that
wine? And then this is Muddy Track.
It was great. It was at a great store, you said. What was the name of the store?
Yeah, the store is called Love That Red Winery. Love That Red. They're in Washington, but all of his wines are horse racing. Like all of his advertising and everything, it's all about horse racing. So
smart.
If you want to check
Let's
it out.
Let's have him on the show. Let's bring him on the show. After you drink the wine and tell me
you know who he's friends with, Tim Cohen.
All right, let's get him up here.
Well, Rochelle, so I'm going to try the wine. I'm going to open one this week.
You're the very best. We'll be in Lexington next week, so we'll have to figure out the time. We have, by the way, DJ Stable reached out the second we had his partner.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
I want to come on the show. So maybe next week we'll do DJ Stable. We'll figure it out. That's it. Bye, everybody.
That's it. Bye, everybody.
Have a great weekend.